It's National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5, an APCO Holding Brand podcast, powered by Passion, with your host, Corey Smith.
Welcome to Fixed Ops 5. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fixed Operations Training Manager with APCO Holding. Today, I'm being joined again by Eric Houdige and Jeremiah Shelton. Guys, welcome back to Fixed Ops 5.
Corey, thank you for having
me. Yeah, thanks, man. I love being here.
So last month, we talked about professional development, education. What is a true leader? You know, we talked about skills and becoming a true leader, effective ways to develop these skills, educating yourself, the qualities that you need to look for in a mentor, right? And developing skills that that mentor gives you, professional development programs. So this episode, we're going to push the envelope further than we did that first episode. So I'm excited to have you guys back. We got a huge response from listeners about what we talked about. So let's just jump right into it. Eric, what are the most effective ways to lead and manage teams from the fixed operations department?
Great question, Corey. That, you know, there's an evolution to that at all times, but one of the things that I found is making sure you have a base with your team. And what do I mean by that? It's making sure that both your goals and your team's goals align. You want to make sure that you don't have two separate agendas. Once everybody comes together and you create that common goal, is how are we going to train to maintain our journey to make sure we're achieving that goal? So I think those two go hand in hand. It's making sure that everybody's goals or everybody's journey lines up. And number two is always training to stay on task.
I love that. Jeremiah, from the sales point of view, what can you add to that?
Big thing is lead by example, right? So, you know, you can't ask somebody to do something that you're not willing to do yourself. So it doesn't matter what task it is, you know, how small or how big, I mean, you need to be able to jump into it. But at the same time with that, I mean, your job as a leader is not to be necessarily the doer of everything. So you have to, you know, trust your people, give them enough rope to succeed or fail, right? And, you know, and embrace failure. I know this sounds weird, but you really got to embrace failure because those are learning opportunities. And, you know, the most successful people in the world fail the most because they do the most things. So embrace failure, fix it, move on. Don't keep making the same mistake again. And then a way to do that as a leader too is track everything. Look, I mean, data is important, right? We can talk all philosophy and everything we want to, but the one thing in this world that doesn't really lie is math. So track it and see what it does. And you'll know if your ideas are working or not. And don't get upset if you put an idea in there and it doesn't work. You learn from that and move on. So those are what I think.
Yeah, no, and I'm with you on that. And leadership, we can all agree, has changed over the years. You know, before it was, you know, I'm a boss and you do what I say and delegation and all that stuff. But really, it's now evolved into servant leadership is the people that I serve. Every day I serve my team. It's not the other way around. The team doesn't serve me, right? So in that same respect, what you're talking about, and Eric, I think you're on the same path as well, is that having that team and trusting with them to be adults, right, and do what needs to be done. And if they fail, we talk about it, we learn, we grow, and we keep pushing forward, right? So with that, what are the key strategies for effective leadership in your mind, Jeremiah?
One of the key strategies is to focus on the outcome, right? Like, so you want to start at the end of the result. So if I'm running a sales department and, you know, our ultimate goal for the year is to sell 200 cars a month, well, I start at that point and celebrate it, see what it looks like, and then work backwards from there. Because then, you know, if your focus the whole time is getting to those 200 cars, you're going to get there because all your energy and everything you're putting out is going in that direction. So start at the end. You know, you don't have to think about what do I have to do at the beginning. Start at the end, and then your plan will work its way out because, you know, there's a lot of plans that have a plan B, plan C, plan D. You know, things are going to change. Always focus on your outcome.
I like that. So your one of your strategies is start at the end, right? and work your way to the front, right?
Yeah, 100%. No different than the training department we do here at APCO, right? It's like, have a vision of what it's going to be. We're way ahead of track of getting there. But the vision's, that's what started the whole thing. And you look at over the last year of what we've done and what we've accomplished, it's coming together, you know? It's and then once we, you know, the one negative thing about being a leader or, you know, a go-getter or anything else is once you achieve that, well, then you got to change the goal again. You got to move it up and you have a different vision, but you got to get that first one first, right?
Yeah, no, 100%. Eric, from your point of view, you've run service departments. Your role currently right now is a trainer. What are some key strategies when you are a service manager to effectively lead your team?
One of the key strategies that I used was that powerful word, accountability. And with accountability, we focus sometimes the energy of that word in the wrong position. We focus accountability at the end of the result. Once it's happened, we need to focus accountability with our teams and more importantly with ourselves before the performance. So how much are you working? How much effort are you putting in to demand the result that you're looking for? And to me, accountability, it starts at the beginning. It's not at the end and bringing staff in to let them know or ask them why it didn't happen. It's to prepare them properly to make sure that those results happen. So to me, accountability, using it in the right energy, will provide the result that you're looking for.
All right, I like that. So Eric, in your mind, how can education and professional development programs help individuals develop these skills that you talk about with accountability?
It's the game changer. And I think that taking training, professional training, from teams to come in and be able to help your staff and provide different points of views, because you can hear the same thing over and over, but there may be that person who teaches and trains, let's use for instance the walk around or the multi-point inspection, but you may hear it from a student standpoint from somebody different, and you're able to catch on to it, you're able to learn it, and you're able to then go out there and perform it. So to me, the coaching and professional development programs that are out there, it's not a need. It's more of, it has to be part of your culture.
Interesting. Jeremiah, what are your thoughts on that?
I want to start with the actual students. I mean, anytime, especially in this business, right? Every single person in this business, you know, whether they're going to admit it or not, at some point it's going to get down. Going to get burnt out. I mean, we work a ton of hours, go, you know, work holidays, nights, weekends. You know, a lot of us are traveling a lot. It's a lot of stress on you, right? So when you look at a class, you can't think about like, oh, well, you know, I've been doing this for 30 years. What's this person going to teach me? It's sometimes it's just to reset the people, you know, they need to, you know, it can de-stress them, you know, reset their mind, get them to refocus on what their true goals are. It just get them motivated again. And at the same time, you are going to learn something, you know, whether I've been to a class, you know, I've been to tons of classes. I've been to a class before where the teacher just wasn't that good or knowledgeable. Sometimes you can learn from when things are bad too. Like, I'm not going to do that. You know what I mean? So it's like, you got to go in an open mind, but, from the people, especially the leaders, managers that are sending their people to training, you gotta understand, it's not just, hey, I want to send somebody to training just so they can, you know, learn a new word track or a new clothes. No, you're sending people to training to develop them as people, develop them as humans, develop them for your business, to make them, you know, have better success in their life, so they're happier when they come to work, which means you're going to be more successful and you're going to have a better life. So, you know, look at training as a huge investment, probably the biggest investment you can make.
Yeah, I mean, it is a huge investment, to your point. And I think if you look at it as an investment from a business owner or even a GM or a service manager, a fixed ops a director, when you're looking at it as an investment, not a cost, you're not spending it, you're investing it. Your goal is to have an ROI from that. And if you look at it from, I want to develop more leaders, I want to develop somebody that can replace me someday, right? Or look at it from, a customer interaction, the more those employees take care of the customer, guess what? They're going to come back. The hot word for the last 5 or 6 years has been retention, both for sales and service, right, guys? So if we build up that retention number, the money will be there, right? So what are the biggest challenges you face, Jeremiah, in your role as a leader?
Honestly, biggest challenge would be my own head. Got to be honest. It's you know, you run things, you feel confident one day. Next day, you start doubting yourself, which is normal human emotions. So really, your own mindset can be your biggest challenge, and it is for me. I know when I, you know, every time I go and teach a class, I start watching motivational videos the day before it, the morning of, just to get my mind in the right frame, because nobody wants a demotivating trainer in front of them, right? They want everybody pumped up, positive. So I have to do that for myself. So really, it's probably no different than anyone else. I mean, it's just your own mindset, you know? We have dark times. I mean, we went through COVID. You know, think about COVID, for example. We March 15th was my 40th birthday when we shut down in COVID. So kind of happy I didn't get to celebrate, to be honest. I was 40, wasn't happy about it. But the world was on fire. Everybody's freaking out. Everybody's business is shut down. I mean, every business owner, I mean, we were on calls with them. And myself as a business owner at the time was like, well, if we can't open business, how are we going to stay in business, right? And it's fear. Well, then guess what? We had one of the best years in the auto industry ever, you know, in that year. It was crazy the way things turned around. And it's, so you're going to have good times and bad times. You just got to maintain your mind to stay in the positive mindset and move forward.
Yeah, I really like that. So I love the fact that you got a little vulnerable there by admitting that, because we all go through those times where I have this high that I'm doing great things and I'm changing lives and I'm making a difference. And then there's this like, I don't know, is this really going to work? Am I doing a good job? You know, those ebbs and flows, and that's normal. But to your point, how do you get yourself out of that rut, right? Is it a video that gets you there, right? And that's a great recommendation, right? A video, or for me it's quotes. I love reading quotes. It pumps me up. It inspires me. Anytime I read something that does that, I want to share that with everybody, because you just don't know what everyone else is going through, right? Eric, what are your biggest challenges that you face as a leader?
You know, and that was a great way to answer it. So great answer. I think one of the toughest things as a leader that you face is how do you compete and win against yourself? You know, Corey, you just said, you know, you come off of a month where you had a record month, or you just did something amazing. And to Jeremiah's point is you start asking yourself, how am I going to win against me in those next numbers? You know, and I say this all the time with management and fixed ops is, you know, don't focus too much on beating yourself or winning against yourself in the following year. The only thing I can offer is give it everything you've got every single day. Start every single day like it's your first, and end every day like it's your last. And that, to me, that's been a keynote that I've taken with me.
Nice. So that's how you overcome the challenge, right? Is that right?
That's it. Leave nothing on the table. If you look back, just make sure you left nothing on the table.
I like that. So Jeremiah, when you talked about your challenge, how do you overcome those challenges and become a better leader, right? Once you've watched that video, what does that do to you?
It just resets your mind. It just gets in the right frame. I mean, you know, let's be real for a minute. Like, you know, you get stressed out because you missed a deal or didn't sell a car. Well, you know, you got to put things in perspective. I mean, there are people going through like some serious problems, you know, like in their lives. And when you kind of like look at it, it's not that big of a deal. And one of my wizards taught me this a long time ago. He said, you know, if it's an issue that's not going to make a difference a year or 2 years from now, then it's really not that big of a deal, is it? And you're like, it's really not. It's just a circumstance. And I like to use that word instead of problems. Language helps, for example. So, you know, if I start my day every day and go, man, I got 10 problems I got to fix. Well, you start out stressful and negative. So I start off be like, hey, I got 10 circumstances that I'm going to handle. No big deal. And that one little change of wording and the mindset, it changes the whole outlook of how you go about it. So it's everyone. You have to train your brain for that. You know, if you look at like professional, like elite athletes, you know, we talk about them because everybody can relate to that. But like, take the best of the best. That's how they're like naturally wired. You know, you look at like a Tom Brady, a Michael Jordan, a Kobe Bryant. You know, whether you like them or not, you know, like it depends what sports team. I know some people are Patriots fans, some aren't. Okay. But it's, they're wired to be winners and their whole outlook is, I'm going to win. They don't have the fear of failure. It's just, I'm going to win. This is what I do. And that's how their brain is. And as everyone else, you know, I wish my brain was wired that way all the time, but I'm human. I'm being authentic here. It's not. So you have to rewire yourself every time you start getting down, you feel it. Because everybody knows when they're getting down, they're thinking this way. It's got to rewire. Rewire it with your language. Put positivity in your life. Get off social media if that's bothering you. Turn off the news if that's bothering you. You know, avoid that kind of stuff. And focus on your outcome of what you want to accomplish. And that clears your head, gives you a clear path, and you know where you're going. And that's one of the biggest things is people just don't know where they're going. They kind of exist in a job or exist in something and it's month to month. You really want to have a vision of where you're going and keep a focus on that. You know, what do they always say? You aim for the moon, you hit a star or vice versa, whatever. I mean, that's kind of what it is.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. I love that. So in your mind, Jeremiah, what are the key skills and qualities that successful leaders pose that you've come across in your lifetime? You've been on this earth for over 40 years, you said. What are some key skills and qualities that you've seen that successful leaders possess?
I mentioned this on our earlier podcast, but being humble is one, you know. Being grateful is another one, for your people, for what you've accomplished, everything else. You know, you need to have those two skills. Because then everything else, like as far as the confidence, you know, you can have confidence and be humble, and then you're confident. If you're not humble, you're arrogant, you know. So it's two different ways to come about that, and you want people to work with you. So, you know, those are really two of the biggest keys. And the other thing is just belief. Believe that things are possible, you know. Believe that you can accomplish anything. You know, it's funny, and in the car business, you know, if I, on the F&I side, right? If I go to a store where, you know, you got one F&I manager, say they run $1,000 a car, and I hire a salesperson off the floor, put them in F&I. Well, they usually will run 7 to 8 because the guy in the office is running 1,000. So that's their bar, but they don't have the experience yet. So they're there. Now, if I took that same exact person and put them in a store where the F&I manager was running $3,000 a car, this person's going to run $2,500 to $2,800 a car because that's now their mindset and their bar. It's amazing. We track that stuff. It's no different than guy that ran the 4-minute mile. Same deal, same concept, right? He finally accomplished it, and everybody thought it was impossible. Within that year, somebody else accomplished it because it was done. It's no different. I'm sure you see in service too. You got a service writer that's doing great in hours and everything else. Well, the people around him will elevate because, you know, the rising tide lifts all boats, my friend. And that's really, you know, where you need to go.
Yeah, I like that. So Eric, for you, tell us some leaders that you've come across that aren't real leaders, right? And give us some qualities that you see there. And then compare that to some leaders and what their skills have been and what their qualities are, right? So why don't you talk about that? I'm sure you've run across a leader that just got the job because he's been there the longest, right?
Yeah, one of the things that I see is two errors. The first thing is somebody locking themselves in a room and coming up with a plan on their own. and then coming out with that marching order of this is the way it's going to be. That's a very quick way of losing a team. To me, that side of that leader says, I'm going to put, you know, some type of anxiety in the situation. And from a leader standpoint, those are big mistakes. The other thing is, you know, when you're leading a team, I seen a picture and I just love it. And it's got, just people in it, and it's asking you to pick the leader. Who's the leader of the team? And that to me is valuable when you're working with a team, being able to make sure everybody plays a role in the winning game is huge. So on the flip side of things, in great leadership, what I've seen is two things. One, remain the best student. Always be the best student. Always remain in learning mode. And don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to say, I need help. This one might be bigger. You may have the answer, but the project that's in front of you, the task in front of you, sometimes overwhelms us, and that's okay. And reaching out to people, and there's plenty of us in the automotive world. There's plenty of us outside of the automotive world that are happy to offer advice or a phone call or 5 minutes of advice. And that's something that's hard to learn. And this goes right along with what Jeremiah said, which is remaining humble. So be the best student at all times.
Oh, I love that. All right. So guys, we're right up against the time. Eric, give me your three takeaways from this episode in your mind that a service advisor, an agent, someone of leadership at the dealership can take away from this episode.
The first thing is stay humble. The second thing is remain a student. And the last thing, I'm even taking away something from what Jeremiah said, which is, It's okay to have those days where, you know, you get down on yourself, but listening to those motivation videos or listening to those motivation podcasts to me, I'm taking away something from it. So I'm taking it. Thank you, Jeremiah.
All right, Jeremiah, what are your three takeaways?
Number one would be invest in your people, get them trained, send them places. And it doesn't have to be, you know, specific to the industry. It could be something else, leadership, motivation, whatever, but invest in your people. It'll pay, you know, millions in dividends, right? Number two, I like what Eric said, be humble. And number three is start at the end and focus on what you want to accomplish and keep your eye on the ball, keep moving forward, and you'll be amazed at how quick you achieve that goal.
I love that. Jeremiah, how can people get in touch with you?
You can reach out to EasyCare on our EasyCare University website. Contact me there. I don't mind even giving out my cell phone number on here. It's 610-842-2753. I hope that wasn't a mistake. Start getting some funny texts and everything else. But it's, reach out to me either way. I'm open to anybody. Anybody that ever wants to talk about training or getting on the right, you know, page or anything about the car business, man, give me a call. I love it.
How about you, Eric? How can people get in touch with you?
You can reach me at 708-829-3318. Or if you want to email me at my first initial E, my last name, Howdige, at apcoholdings.com. And let me make sure I spell that. It's EJAUREGUI at apcoholdings.com. And same thing, always happy to talk automotive at any time.
Awesome. I love that. If you want to deliver a legendary customer experience that keeps the customer coming back to you and encouraging them to invite their family and their friends into your establishment, then you've got the gold standard customer service vision. Do you want a more cohesive team that delivers a higher level of customer service that will result in more revenue for your dealership? We provide the tools, knowledge, and training needed to unlock that potential of your dealership. For more information on this topic and others, or to submit a question, or to be a guest on the show, feel free to send me an email at csmith@apcoholdings.com. Eric and Jeremiah, that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and being a part of this episode. And I'm going to end with this last question like I ask every guest. Will you please come back?
Absolutely. Thank you, Corey.
100%. Yeah, appreciate it. It was fun, guys.
Thank you for listening to National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5 with Corey Smith. Powered by Pasha, be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. New episodes released on the 5th and 20th of every month.